from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. City College of San Francisco is in trouble, in danger of losing its accreditation, which could in turn lead to its closing. That's the stark reality described in a new report from the commission in charge of accrediting community colleges. City College's difficulties are not new. 6 years ago, the college was taken to task for a number of shortcomings, including its lack of financial management and planning, shortcomings that have not yet been rectified. And yet, the new report also makes clear that City College is trying hard to right the ship. The question is whether it has the time, leadership, and resources to do so. The future of City College, next on Forum, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. This week, City College of San Francisco was officially put on notice. The commission in charge of accrediting community colleges notified City College administrators that it was in grave danger of losing its accreditation, a loss that would make one of the nation's largest colleges ineligible to receive public funding and, in essence, force its closure. Among other shortcomings, the report called into question the college's leadership and decision-making, its ability to manage its finances, and to track student achievement. Nor are the shortcomings new. A 2006 report identified many of the same issues. Now City College is on the clock. It must show cause why the commission should not revoke its accreditation 1 year from now. Joining us first to get our discussion started, Nanette Asimov. She's the higher education reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle. Nanette, good morning.
Good morning.
When you look at both your reporting and the report itself, you have the sense that this is almost very basic stuff that the City College has failed to do, not only immediately, but over the last half a dozen years or so. What did you find in your reporting about why it is that it's been so difficult to put the pieces of this puzzle in place?
Well, you know, City College it was praised in this report for being very student-centered. And that is really what every person at City College will tell you, is that they kind of want to do what is great for students. And what they've done is let go of a lot of administrators. They've chopped from the top, as students sometimes say. They've been very instructor-centered, and they've tried to do what's best for students. And in so doing, they seem to have lost their way in terms of running the school, keeping it as small as it should be given the drastic reduction of millions of dollars in state resources. They just haven't wanted to apparently face reality.
You have this sense in reading the report, and as you say, much of the report is there's always sort of this sense of they're trying really hard, but they're working on this issue, but it's like there's good intent, but the inability to actually make the tough decisions?
Well, that's true, and that is one of the first things that the accreditation team pointed out in their thick report. You don't have to go beyond page 4 to see that they say that there are too many cooks. There's no clear line of decision making, and they've tried to. And again, this is the good intention. They've tried to give everybody a voice in decision making, and when everybody's got a voice, really nobody's got a voice. So it takes them months, if not years, to do simple decision-making, whether to cut something or change a program or hold somebody accountable. It just takes them so long, and that was one of the major problems for getting any of these other things done.
And the net result, to sort of put in priority order the major problems, it's basic things, right? Not being able to live within its means, not being able to make key decisions, not being able to track student achievements, very, very sort of central core problems.
That's exactly right. And now they have until October 15th to come up with an action plan to fix something that they haven't been able to fix in really more than 6 years, because by 6 years ago is when the problems were first identified officially, but they had been years in the making. So now they've got to do it in a very short time frame, and the question is, how will they get that done? So they have brought in, they're going to bring in, this month, a fiscal crisis assistance team from the state that might be, you can imagine them ordering City College people around and them having to make a lot of cuts.
And what's your sense now on campus in terms of the will to make this happen? Is this the proverbial wake-up call? Is there a sense that really things must change?
Well, there is that sense. So at the top levels, you see an urgent action. You know, people are, all right, we've got to do this. We're going to be meeting. We're going to be bringing these people in, and we're going to be making sure that this college stays open because it's unthinkable that it could close. But trickle it down a little bit, and among the faculty and even among some of the trustees, you see kind of an anger at this accreditation report and saying, you know, they just don't understand us. This is about money from the state that we haven't gotten, and how could we possibly, you know, do anything other than what we've done? We should be applauded. That's an attitude that I would say it's a bit defensive, but it's not going to get the college where it needs to go. And so there's a sort of a split reaction if you go on campus and talk to a lot of people.
Nanette Asimov, higher education reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle. Nanette, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And we spoke with Nanette Asimov earlier this morning. We're joined now live by the interim chancellor at the City College of San Francisco, Pamela Fisher. She's just been on the job 2 months, took over after the previous chancellor had to retire due to serious illness. Chancellor Fisher, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Tell us first what your initial reaction was to the news this week. Were you surprised?
I personally was disappointed, but not totally surprised. The exit interviews that occurred in March before I was here gave some clue to what they thought our problems were at City College. And in the 2 months that I've been here, I certainly could see some of the problems that needed to be addressed. And frankly, it's one of the reasons that I had sent a very strong message on campus and with the Board of Trustees that we need to start addressing these things immediately. And we did start doing that even before the decision came. I fully expected a sanction of some kind. I did not expect it necessarily to go all the way to show cause. But in any case, the recommendations were known to us, and we knew that we need to get started, and so we have begun to work on them already.
And by show cause, that's a reference that essentially you've been put on notice, that you have to show why your accreditation should not be removed. I want to come to the point that Annette Asimov mentioned toward the end of our interview, which is that there seems to be, from her reporting at least, this sort of split reaction on campus, that there is a clear willingness and a recognition of what needs to be done in your office and at the top of City College, but in other ways, less certainty about that. Is your first task in some ways to convince your colleagues, to convince the rest of City College that the situation is as dire as it apparently is?
I think that is an important task. We have a couple of messages that we want to get out immediately. One of them is that we are still open and we are still accredited and that we intend to stay open and that we'll do whatever it takes. And so that is a message that we are conveying in numerous settings and numerous venues, both internally and externally. I guess in a little bit of explanation with the layers within our institution that Annette referenced, the folks who have not been as close to this as the leadership, I would characterize it as having to go through a kind of grieving process. There is shock, there is disbelief, there is a little bit of denial, but people are moving, I'm finding, very quickly through that. I've had nonstop meetings since Tuesday afternoon, since the announcement was made, with staff. I have nonstop meetings today. I have open forums, and it is sinking in and getting the attention of people, and many folks are stepping forward, people that I've not yet even had the opportunities to meet in the last 2 months, saying, how can I help? What can I do? We can't let this happen. I'll volunteer my time. I've actually been overwhelmed with people offering, even retirees and community residents, as well as staff and students here, saying, what can we do? So I think we are getting people's attention, although clearly there's an element in there that would like to hope that maybe this might go away. But I don't think anybody can be out of contact with the reality of what we have to do and what we have to do immediately. And I suspect you won't hear much of that split as you speak. Maybe some sadness about it. There's definitely that. but not the split in terms of the will to do something about it.
Is it a fair charge to make that City College has just not focused enough on the reality of its limited finances? There's always this concern, oh, the problem is really that we should be getting more money from the state. We've been cut. But the truth of the matter is it not, that many other city colleges, most other community colleges have dealt with this problem of limited resources, and that City College of San Francisco simply has not?
I would have to say that many of our, first of all, you're correct that all of our sister colleges up and down the state have had to deal with similar fiscal cutbacks. That's the reality. That's the state of California's economy. It's also the priorities that have been set, in my opinion, unfortunately, by our state legislature. That said, yes, everyone has had to deal with it. I would say that it's probably a fair characterization that City College has been reluctant to make the hard decisions that had to come with that. It's come from a long history of compassion, of generosity, of wanting to do what's best for students and staff, and a relatively slow realization that what we could afford to do in the past, we can no longer afford to do. And so, yeah, that it has been hard for that message to get across. I think it has been received at this point, however.
So what are the next tough steps that you are going to have to take in order to live within your means, in order to be able to make decisions so that those priorities are, in fact, take place?
Well, there are a variety of steps that have to happen simultaneously. Essentially, we have some structural issues that we have to address, how we're organized, how we operate, how we do business. The recommendations include reexamining our decision-making processes, the roles of everyone from the board through faculty and staff, the processes that we've set in place that don't always yield timely decisions. So we're going to have to deal with some structural things there. We're also going to have to deal with some structural issues that come with a fairly high cost that we are probably going to have to figure out how to do business in a way that is more cost efficient in order to free up reallocate, if you will, the resources for those areas that we are not addressing adequately fiscally, namely the size of our reserves, our retiree liability, and some unmet needs, particularly in the area of technology and facility maintenance. So in order to address those fiscal issues, which is a very high priority and a requirement, we also are going to have to address the structural ones internally in order to have the resources that can be reallocated. And those are going to take some real tough decisions, and they're going to have to be done very quickly, which we would all admit is not something we do well, namely, you know, change course quickly. But this is one time when we must, and I'm confident we will.
It's a bit like you're the Titanic and you need to move pretty quickly or you're going to hit that iceberg. Let me ask you just finally this then. What will some of those tough decisions mean for what City College will look like a few years from now? Does it mean, for example, that you have to close some of your campuses? You have 9 spread out across the city. Mm-hmm. What is City College going to look like if indeed you are able to make the tough decisions that are upon you?
We don't know the answer for sure. We're doing the analysis on the consolidation of sites, and we'd like to talk about it as consolidation because at this point it's a programmatic issue. But we have to decide what makes sense financially with respect to that. That is a part of the equation. I'm not sure that is a huge part. I think there are some other issues that we have to address, and it's somewhat related, and the report calls on that. It references the fact that 92% of our costs are in personnel, and that is much larger than the state average with respect to personnel costs. So we're going to have to address the personnel costs, the number of people we have, the compensation, the way people are compensated for certain kinds of work, the reassigned time. There are a lot of issues there that relate to or contribute to that 92%. We'll have to look at all of those and see which ones make the most sense. I'm confident that if we do that, how City College looks to the community, other than being, you know, more efficient, may not be dramatically different. The other piece of it that the commission calls us to do that may, in fact, play into this is our mission, literally. The state has redefined the mission of community colleges. We are doing our darn best to still be all things to all people, and the state has essentially said you can't do that anymore. So that means our Board of Trustees and our campus leadership are going to have to make some priority decisions about what programmatic things are most critical to the city of San Francisco and do more of some and less of others. That is a way in which we might look different. If someone was looking very carefully, for example, at our class schedule, it may very well look different over the next few years. But that's part of one of the discussions that will be critical and will have to happen. It will be one of the ones that's painful because, frankly, we're very proud of the history and tradition that we have of being pretty much all things to all people. And I don't see that continuing.
Pamela Fisher, the interim chancellor of the City College of San Francisco, just on the job for 2 months. You want to keep it?
I hope to help them for as long as I can till they can find a permanent replacement. And I'm sure that either myself or my replacement will be coming back to you, hopefully with some very positive progress updates.
Pamela Fisher, again, our thanks for joining us for this part of our conversation.
My pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
We're joined now by John Rizzo, who is president of the Board of Trustees for the City College of San Francisco. Mr. Rizzo, good morning.
Good morning.
We're also going to hear from Hal Huntsman, a math teacher at City College. Hal, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Lena Carew, a student who graduated from City College and now has transferred to the University of California, Berkeley. Lena Carew, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And Alyssa Miller, an English teacher and president of the American Federation of Teachers, president of the American Federation of Teachers at City College of San Francisco. Alyssa Messer, thanks for being with us as well.
Good morning. It's Alyssa.
Alyssa, thanks. I got them both wrong. I don't often get them both wrong. Thanks for the correction. John Rizzo, we heard the interim chancellor describe this enormous task that is before you. And I want to drill down a bit on just the ability to do it, because you have this sense in reading the report that City College has been a bit paralyzed and not really effectively able to make tough decisions. Do you concur with that assessment? And what are you going to do so that these very deep and specific problems that are in front of you will get the kind of decisiveness that they so need?
Well, I guess I don't agree that that's what the report says. We have been dealing with problems for several years, and we had 4 or 5 years ago, we had problems with our construction projects, projects that were over budget and late, and we actually solved that problem through policy reform, and our last two buildings were on time and on budget, which is something you can't say for a lot of public projects. So we have done this before, and so we have been – this is not a surprise to us. We have been talking about this for at least 6 months, the previous chancellor. We had discussions about this at board meetings.
But the report does say that it has great concerns about the adequacy of City College's leadership. And it goes on to say the lack of self-examination and failure to react to ongoing reduced funding has caused the institution to reach a breaking point.
Right. There are reforms we need to make in the way the institution is managed, all the way down through from the top all the way down through the bottom. A lot of the structures have been in place for decades. The college has been around since 1935, and they haven't been revisited. Those structures have not been revisited. Now we have an opportunity to do that. I just wanted to point out the ability for the college to do this. We absolutely have the ability to do this. Like I say, we've done it before. To say we're at the brink of losing accreditation really is a wild exaggeration. That's not what the report says. It's kind of as if you're wheeled into a hospital with a broken leg and your bone is sticking out. Can you die from that? Yeah, you can die from that, but it's not going to happen because the doctor will be responsible. And that's where we are. You know, we have, before this report came out, we started taking action.
But to push your analogy a bit further, it does say surgery is required.
Absolutely.
And that it has to happen soon. I mean, you have 8 months to sort of get your plan in place.
Right.
Because it says the burden of proof in the letter to Chancellor Fisher says the burden of proof rests on the institution to demonstrate why accreditation should be continued. So it's on you. I mean, you have to sort of heal yourself.
Well,
right?
It's on the doctor also to we are the doctor as well. As the doctor to put the bone back into the leg and make sure that the patient survives.
Let's hear from some teachers and students at City College as well. Hal Huntsman, math teacher at City College, former Academic Senate president. Your feeling about the report, is it fair to say that things have been lingering too long and that it's high time for these decisions to move forward?
I do think that's fair. I think that both Chancellor Fisher and President Rizzo have mentioned some important things that the institution has been trying to do. I think that the current board majority has really been working to try to, you know, make changes that are positive, and especially around fiscal controls. I think that, President Rizzo mentioned, I think that's been really great. But I also think that there are forces at the college that have, resisted that change, have resisted that reform. And I think that this is a wake-up call. This is an opportunity for us to say, look, that old guard that has been resisting change, that doesn't want to make the important things that we need to do to serve our community and to educate our students better in a really fast-changing world, we need to make those changes. And that we need to embrace this. We need to accept the challenge and innovate and go forward. That, to me, is what the report is about. That's what the legislature is telling us. That's what we need to do.
Hal Huntsman, math teacher at City College. Alisa Messer, current president of the American Federation of Teachers at City College, English teacher there as well. Do you agree with that there has been resistance and now it's time to embrace and move forward?
No, I see things a little bit differently. I do think that this is a wake-up call, but I don't see this as only a wake-up call for City College of San Francisco. I think this is about a much bigger issue, which is our state funding and what's happening to the community college system. I think that this is a wake-up call for the whole state and the community college system, that we need to be looking at funding for education and what our state cuts have been doing to public education in the state. So the wake-up call is I'm hearing from folks all around the state and actually across the country who are very concerned that a college like City College, where the accreditation report is even clear on this, we're serving our students well. We're doing an amazing job of working with students. That's not the issue under question here, is somehow in jeopardy because of millions, tens and tens of millions of dollars in state cuts that have been happening over the last couple of years.
But fair to say, as we've already talked about briefly, that certainly true that all city colleges, all institutions of higher education, all institutions of education in California are affected by those cuts. But it's only City College among the vast number of community colleges, with one or two other exceptions around the state, who are having this severe difficulty with facing that problem. That's fair, right?
I don't know for sure that's fair. It's certainly City College that is a large institution that appears to perhaps have been singled out by accreditation. We do know that we have some serious problems to face, and I don't want to give the impression that we don't take it seriously, because we really do. There's a lot of reaction, and folks are really going to come together and make sure that the college remains intact.
And let me hold you there. We'll get more of that reaction. We'll hear more from John Rizzo about the state of community colleges, not only here but elsewhere, and get some student perspective as well when we return. And we'd like your views on City College, its future, and its importance to the city of San Francisco when we return. 866-733-6786. 866-733-6786. I'm Dave Iverson, and this is Forum. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson. Our topic this hour, the future. City College of San Francisco received a tough report from the commission, which deals with accreditation of community colleges, saying that it had to show cause why it should continue to be accredited. And that accrediting, of course, is crucial for it to receive public funding. And that public funding, of course, is what allows City College to stay open and serve its some 90,000 students, one of the largest colleges in the United States. We're joined for the remainder of the hour by John Rizzo, who is president of the Board of Trustees of City College, Hal Huntsman, a math teacher at the college, Elisa Messer, one of the English instructors at the college and also president of the American Federation of Teachers. Lena Carew joins us as well. She graduated last year from City College and is now transferred to UC Berkeley. Lena Carew, let's let you enter into this conversation by giving us a student point of view. What was your reaction when you got the news this week? What is your concern, I guess, about the future of City College and the students that it serves?
Right. So I think that my reaction is similar to most. It's pretty shocking and a little and very concerning. But I can't say that I was too surprised. In my time working as a student advocate and organizer on campus and now a coordinator of the student advocacy program, Students Making a Change, we have worked over the last year diligently on budget issues with the college and really helping to reduce spending. And, you know, really the concern for the students that I represent is, you know, the budget crisis has definitely reduced our capacity, but my concern is really our will to change. And I'm really hopeful, but a little bit skeptical that we will shift the political culture on campus in order to reach our goals and to make sure that we stay accredited.
John Rizzo, on that point of decision making and culture, you almost get the sense reading the report that City College has almost been done in a bit by its own good intent, that because it wants to do so much and be so inclusive and serve so many students, that it hasn't really been able to focus on the tough, really tough decisions that have to happen.
I think that's true to a large degree. We have been cutting administrators. Rather than cutting classes, although
I mean, you're sort of doing the opposite of what most people complain about. People often complain about too much fat at the top.
Yeah.
You're too lean.
Right. We're too lean at the top. Absolutely.
39 administrators for a college of 90,000 students. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. And we've also cut on maintenance, and we were flagged on that. And we've had a hiring freeze on non-faculty employees. So we're down 70 people. These are janitors, maintenance people, and other people, secretaries as well. But we still had to cut classes. People don't realize the enormity of the cuts to public education. I mean, we have been cutting. We lost $17 million last year. And the result is we had 10,000 students last fall who could not get into classes. And so we have been cutting, but the pace of the cutting, we just haven't been able to keep up with it. That's why we brought in the FICMAC team to help us identify.
Which stands for?
That's okay. Fiscal Crisis Management Assessment Team, Assistance Team.
Let's hear from another student. William joins us next from San Francisco. William, go ahead.
Hi, I'm actually the student trustee to the Board of Trustees, and I just wanted to make sure that you all get the message out that we're having a lot of meetings this week, and that if you go on Facebook to go to Save City College of San Francisco, you'll find a space, and even though it's the middle of summer, a lot of students are already active, and we need the community's input because we've been relying on a board that is so busy fighting that they haven't prioritized the students over the past two terms. So it's important that people activate, and there'll be meetings Monday and Tuesday in the evening, and that information's all available online.
Okay, William, thank you. You're saying there's too much fighting on the board itself, the Board of Trustees?
Well, I mean, you know, it's an election year, so it subsided a bit, but one of the most contentious meetings I went to was one that discussed placement testing, which holds a lot of students back. A lot of students are impacted by the level of placement that they enter in because it dictates how long that they'll be taking English and math classes. And there was very contentious dialogue between the English department and the actual actual board in the middle of a public session when the board's role should really be working with the chancellor to manage rather than creating conflict themselves.
All right, William, thanks. Let's hear from both Elisa Messer and John Rizzo on that point. Your reaction to William's concern. There's too much infighting and not enough focus on what needs to happen.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that. Excuse me. excuse me. I mean, he was referring to this highly controversial thing with testing. We eliminated placement testing, which some of the people on the faculty were not in favor of. But we thought it was the best thing for the students. It was not related to cost issues. But
Elisa Messer, we don't have to necessarily dwell on that specific issue that William was raising. But I'm curious about his overall point, and Lena Cruz too, that there's this sense even among students that there isn't enough will, I guess, on the part of faculty and leadership.
So, well, first of all, let me just correct the record a little bit. We didn't eliminate placement testing, but we did make some adjustments that I think will be very, very good for students in the future and help them move along at City College and be served well. But it was a contentious issue, and one of the things that we definitely need to work on at City College is how we deal together with contentious issues on behalf of our students and on behalf of all the constituencies at the college. I do agree with that. I don't know that I agree that there's been so much fighting that we're not getting other things done. I think I heard that said. This is a very challenging time. We've lost tens of millions of dollars. It's almost a foregone conclusion that there will be some tension at a moment like this.
Hal Huntsman, your sense of sort of tension versus a willingness to sort of put shoulder to the wheel and get done what needs to get done?
Well, I think that it's both. I think that the board, you know, in that particular issue that Will brought up, the board was very willing and ready to, you know, move forward on the issue and recognize the importance of the issue for students. And it was some of those same forces that I was, you know, mentioning earlier that were, you know, resisting some of that change. And, you know, eventually we did, you know, we made some progress, which I think is great. And so I think that as a whole, the institution is willing, and there are important forces among the faculty, among the administration, on the board. I think really the board majority is in favor of and generally moves forward to, you know, make progress at the institution. I think also it's really important to note that that was really a student-led, student-motivated campaign around placement testing. And the students, in my experience here at the college, have been the primary force for progress. And the board listens to them. And I really think that's important to note, that the board and many of us in the faculty who listen to the students, they're really the source of the best ideas that we have going forward.
Hal Huntsman, math teacher at City College, joining us. Let's hear from someone else who is at City College. Bill joins us next. Bill, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, my name is Bill Shields. I'm the chair of the Labor and Community Studies Department at the college. I just think it needs to be emphasized that we have been tightening our belts. We've turned away 10,000 students. Twice recently, the teachers' union has voted to take a pay cut. We've cut everywhere we can. We haven't replaced people who've retired. And I do think it speaks to something that Elisa has said, that I think this is a signature moment, a bellwether moment in our society. Will we fund public education adequately? For instance, we're going to be coming to the voters in San Francisco in the fall asking for them to vote for a parcel tax to help us, and statewide for Jerry Brown's tax. We're hoping we can address the revenue side and not only additionally the cut side. And, of course, we're going to cut, but we do need some more revenue. So I think that's an important issue.
Bill, thanks. Thanks for raising that. John Rizzo, the parcel tax that will go forward, it's not going to, along with also the governor's own income tax proposal, solve all your problems, though, right? It's not like you're going to be awash in money if those tax proposals go through. These tough decisions still remain.
That's absolutely true. If both taxes pass, we're basically at an even level of where we have been. They don't actually restore a lot of the cuts that we've gotten. If they both lose, we're in real dire circumstances.
I want to ask you about Chancellor Fisher's noting that one of the concerns that the evaluation report made was that 92%, which seems like an astonishing figure, that 92% of City College's costs are personnel, and that that's considerably higher than the average So, again, I know you have made the point, and it's fair to say, and Alisa Messer has made this, and Bill just did as well, that colleges all across the state are dealing with these tough cuts. And yet it seems they're compounded at City College by how money has been spent and how money has been tracked, particularly in the area of personnel.
Yeah, the average community college personnel, it's something like 88%. We're at 92%, and for a large budget like ours, that is a lot. And we're looking at that. I think a lot of that has to do with the structures, the organizational structures within the district. I do want to say that excuse me, other community colleges are suffering this. Last year, the accreditation body looked at 23 community colleges, and 19 of them got red flags for issues similar to what we're dealing with. So these cuts are putting enormous stress on the entire system.
Similar, but also fair to say that it's only you and two other colleges out of 100 and some that are getting double red flags and on notice in terms of accreditation.
Well, that's this year. They don't look at all 117 every year. They look at a small number every year. So I think we're going to see more next year.
All right. Let's hear next from Karen, who joins us also from City College. Karen, go ahead, please.
Hi, my name is Karen Saginaw, and I'm president of the Academic Senate representing the faculty. I want to point out that, as the report said and as others have said, we have been putting all of our resources, really, in making sure that we are providing education for students, and the report had nothing bad to say about the level of the quality of education we provide, so that by taking money away from that, and the faculty have been really stretching themselves to do as much as they can and as little as they can. We've had pay cuts and so forth. So taking money away from that is definitely going to have an impact on what is offered to the citizens of San Francisco in terms of educational choices, either in terms of the numbers of students that we serve, for all the kinds of different kinds of things we serve. We serve, as you probably know, ESL for new immigrants to the city who need to learn English. We do programs for students who didn't make it through high school the first time around and have that kind of non-credit. We offer a lot of job trainings for people who are unemployed and need to learn new skills to go back to work and so forth. And that has very much been the focus of the faculty.
Karen, thanks. Thanks for adding that additional perspective. Let's hear that same concern from a student's point of view, Lena Crew, in terms of what will be lost. No one wants to lose. No one believes that we will, in the end, lose City College. But describe why it's important, what it meant to you to get through City College and then be able to go to the UC.
Yeah, so my experience at City College is that it got me exactly where I wanted to go, but that wasn't without struggle. And, you know, not being able to get the classes, critical classes you need in order to reach your goals is really important. But I'd also like to say that, again, this is such an awesome opportunity to be innovative, to make smart changes, and smart cost reductions in a way that we weren't doing before, and perhaps this is the force that needs to help us change. We can definitely shift to more innovative online curriculum that's very cost saving and adds a more dynamic learning experience for students. So I don't necessarily see our situation as something that will negatively impact the community, as long as we approach this with enthusiasm in order to make the changes that need to happen.
Lena Carew, a former City College of San Francisco student, now studying at the University of California, Berkeley. Still time to join us if you'd like at 866-733-6786. Our lines are full, but do keep trying to get in, 866-733-6786. You can also email us your thoughts at forum@kqed.org, or you can post your concerns on our website as well. Two differing views coming in that I want to read from our website. One person writes in, Dave, don't focus so much on isn't City College the only one having the problem. It isn't just City College. Those huge changes they're talking about, called the Student Success Task Force, and now Senate Bill 1456, and the huge enrollment from the current depression we're in, are like tidal waves that have overwhelmed the school. But another listener posts this on our website. The issue right now is not what happens at state government. It's what CCSF plans to do to fix the issue at hand. Quit passing the blame and do what's right to keep the college open. Let's hear next from Terry in San Francisco. Terry, go ahead.
Hi, I'm a native San Franciscan and a taxpayer, and I think that the message that's not getting across is, you know, we're San Franciscans, we support education, we know that institutions need more money, but it's also true that you have to be smart about how you make decisions with that money, and I think that's the problem. You know, the conversation, every faculty member from City College that called in defended the institution and took no responsibility. And I think that's problematic. You know, both of these strains are true. No, there's not enough money. And you can't risk the whole institution because you're stubbornly holding on to that idea. These decisions have to be made by October. The election is not until November. So you have to make the changes first and prove to taxpayers that you can run the institution, and then maybe taxpayers will give you more money, the money that you sorely need. We need this institution. You can't be stubborn and resist change, because that could force us to lose the institution.
Terry, thanks for that comment. Lisa Messer, why don't you respond?
Well, I think that the whole college is going to come together to figure out how to address these, and I think we also see community and San Franciscans stepping up who also want to help us address these issues. But this is, you know, on the issue of stubbornness, given what we've seen happen to public education all around the state, community colleges all around the state, and here in San Francisco at City College, I don't think it's stubborn to want to continue to serve our students. I do think we'll need to pull together and address how we're going to do that. But we're really looking at the possibility of a shift in community colleges that could mean hundreds of thousands of students around the state. We're already losing seats for students, but this is a pivotal moment.
Yeah.
And I don't think that we should simply say, well, never mind, let's close the doors on so many of these students who we know, especially in this economy, really need our services.
Hal Huntsman, it sounds like to the taxpayer who called in, the city resident who called in, that you're going to have to make a tough case. You're going to have to say, we need more money. Please vote for this parcel tax. But in return, here's what we're going to do to right the ship, right? I mean, you've got to make that case.
I think that's exactly right. To me, it's true, you know, we need the budget. We need to, you know, fund education adequately, but we also need to respond to the forces in our society, our state legislature, our accrediting body, all around the country, really. There's forces moving in education that we're not really keeping up with, in my opinion. And I think we could do more to innovate, to be creative, to be flexible. You know, when the accreditation team talks about decision-making processes, you know, we're not flexible enough. It's too slow. The system is built to protect the status quo, to resist that change, and we need to change that. We need to, you know, be ready to embrace the changes. You know, if you look at the innovations that are happening in technology and in online education, there's no reason why students should have to come to the classroom in the same way they have for the last however, you know, many centuries. We need to move forward and think about the ways we can work with these changes.
And John Rizzo, what would you add to that in terms of the case you want to make to San Francisco taxpayers for support, at the same time representing some of what Hal Huntsman is saying about the way in which you're bringing about changes that are necessary?
Yeah, I agree with Hal that we do need to do all those things. We have started to do those things. We've passed a resolution saying that if the state's budget is adjusted this summer, which it can be sometimes, if we get any new revenue, if they give back some money, that all goes into the reserve to build the reserve, because the reserve is dangerously low. So that's just one small thing. When we get the recommendations from this team, from the FICMAT team, we're going to look at them very carefully. We do see this as an opportunity. That's why we brought them in. You know, it wasn't imposed on us. We brought them in because this is like a super auditor.
This is like your fiscal crisis management team,
right?
That's going to help shape some of those decisions.
We've also created our own team, by the way. The chancellor is creating what she calls a SWAT team to focus specifically and only on accreditation, these issues.
Yvonne joins us next. Yvonne, go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning. I just wanted to bring up an unpopular subject, but I really see no reason why the fees per unit shouldn't be increased.
I was a student at City College. I got my AA there. And I have to say, I mean, he who pays the piper calls the tunes. And I think it is the best education out there. I am so supportive and so grateful for the faculty. And quite frankly, I think it's quite undervalued in terms of fees. I see nothing wrong with raising fees minimally to help pay for the deficit or the shortfall.
Yvonne, thanks. John Rizzo.
We have no control over the fees of a student fees. That's totally controlled by the state legislature. The local boards have no control over it. It's unfortunate.
But is Yvonne correct in saying that it's sort of the deal of the century? I mean, do you get great value for the amount you pay? I don't even know what a
city you get enormous value. I mean, we community colleges for the dollar were the lowest cost education of any of the public higher eds. We're a fraction of what UC costs per student. We're a fraction of what state costs per student. We are an enormous value.
If you're a full-time student at CCSF, what do you pay?
Well, it's $46 per credit, and a class is typically 3 credits.
So $150 or less per course to take a course at CCSF.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
If I could just
yes,
add,
go ahead, Elisa Messer.
Yeah, so a couple of things just to add to what John Rizzo had just said. One of those things is it's not just about the cost per unit that a student pays. We're an incredibly efficient, community colleges are incredibly efficient institutions. And so the actual cost, the overall cost of educating students per unit, regardless of who's paying what, this is a taxpayer-subsidized, right? We subsidize public education. That's part of what's supposed to be happening, is still the best value in education. It was only about 25 years ago that, in fact, community colleges were free to the public. And so we have many students who continue to need those free classes and get BOG waivers. In fact, one of the problems that happened this year in the community college system is that when they raised fees this year, so many additional students, because they had financial need, were able to get waivers on their fees that the system didn't have enough money to subsidize those students. So when we raise fees, we really see an impact on our students, and we don't necessarily see a savings or that money coming back to the system or into the state.
A couple of student comments coming in, both from email and online. Nikki writes, I've been a student in the state of California for the past 4 years. Last year, I transferred from Berkeley Community College to San Francisco State. During this time, my tuition has been raised every semester. Simultaneously, there's been a decrease in the amount of classes offered. The vast majority of these cuts have been to night classes. I think it's incredibly unfair for City College to be singled out. Carrie writes in, I'm a former City College student who was fortunate enough to transfer to UC Berkeley. I benefited greatly from many programs and consider it a formative part of my academic development. I often wonder, though, why CCSF doesn't reach out to alumni such as myself for fundraising purposes. Interesting comment. John Rizzo?
Yeah, we've actually been talking about that the past year. We have a foundation, which is a separate group of fundraisers for us, about forming an alumni group and reaching out for donations. That is an excellent idea.
Seems like now would be the time.
Absolutely.
Patrick in Santa Rosa is up next. Patrick, go ahead, please.
Hi. One of the things, I'm the chair of the Department of Physical Sciences at College of Marin, and we're also on warning status for the second time in a decade. And one of the things that I don't hear in the discussion much is everybody accepts the premise that WASC, the accrediting agency, is correct. And if you guys want to do a show, WASC, the colleges at WASC overseas, about 40% of them are on warning status or worse. If you look at all the accrediting agencies across the United States, I think the next highest one is about 6%. And most of them are about 1% or 2% are red flag. So is it really that the colleges in California and the Western United States are that much worse? Or is it that Barbara Bino sitting on her throne in Marin is out of control? And the other thing that people don't talk about is the fact that a college in Marin, it's going to cost us about $250,000 to just address WASC issues. Not implement anything, but to get the consultants and the faculty man hours to write the report.
Let me hold you. Yeah. Okay. Let me hold you there, Patrick. And I'm actually glad that you referenced the commission, because I should have noted earlier that we did invite Barbara Bino, the chair of the accrediting commission, to be a part of this program, but she declined that opportunity. We're hearing some obviously strong feelings from Patrick about whether or not the accreditation committee is too tough. There are other colleges that are dealing with these difficult issues, but John Rizzo, there aren't many that are on the sort of on notice show cause situation that your college is. Do you think that the accreditation committee is being too tough? Are they out of control, as Patrick suggests?
Well, you know, I'm not focused on that. I think other people are more focused at it. I'm focused on City College and doing what we can to get through this. For instance, we're WASC wants a report.
That's the acronym for the accrediting commission.
Yeah, Western Association. It's due October 15th. I want to have it done before then. Yeah. I want to have it done by the beginning of September, if possible, and I'm going to try to make that happen.
Let me hear briefly from Hal Huntsman and Elisa Messer on that. Do you think the accreditation committee is just gone wild, Hal Huntsman?
Yeah, I agree with John that it's kind of beside the point. We need to focus on what we need to do and to make us a better institution. And, if you read the report, they're not citing us for things that are crazy. Even if they've done things that are not correct in other places, when you read the report, you're like, yeah, that's something we need to fix. And so, to me, the issue is let's focus on going forward and making us the institution we can be.
Yeah. Elisa Messer?
Well, I do think that at City College we need to focus in on how to address many of these things, but Patrick is absolutely right. There have been reports, and there's been a lot of focus on the Accreditation Commission and the ACCJC and the warnings and sanctions that they're giving colleges. In our case, they've gone directly, without a warning or a probation, they've gone directly to show cause. It's a little bit shocking. But we actually don't know at this point, or as of last night, the commission still had not posted what its most recent sanctions were for other colleges that they've recently had accreditation team visits to.
We're going to have to hold it there, I'm afraid. We're out of time. We would love to have you all back, though, in the future to take up the progress that City College will hopefully make in the months ahead so that an important institution here in the city of San Francisco can continue. I want to thank John Rizzo, Hal Huntsman, Elisa Messer, Lena Carew, before that, Pamela Fisher, and also Nanette Asimov for participating in our conversation. Forum is produced by Amy Machado and Judy Campbell. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Danny Bringer is our engineer. Raul Ramirez, our executive producer. I'm Dave Iverson. This is Forum on KQED.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, owners of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.